We're turning to Psalm 119 this evening. Psalm 119. We'll not be reading from the opening verse of the chapter. You'll understand that when you understand that it is the longest chapter, 176 verses. But we're turning to the last section, beginning at the verse 169. You'll know that this psalm is subdivided into 22 different sections, 22 different letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so we're coming to Tov, or Tov, and we're reading that section. We begin at the verse 169. Let's hear God's word. Let my cry, the psalmist said, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Amen, and we'll end our reading at the end of the chapter. Let's briefly pray and ask help from the Lord as we think of his word tonight. Let's seek the Lord. Our loving Father, we come before thee tonight and we thank thee for the love of Christ. We thank you for the love of our Savior, boundless and pure and free. We rejoice, O God, for that love that drew us initially on to thyself. O, the love that sought me, precious blood that bought me, O, the grace that brought me to the fold, wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. We cry, O God, that tonight, for those that have wandered from the fold, tonight that the love of God will come, as it were, into this meeting. Grant, O God, them to be brought back to where they need to be and where they ought to be, having saved them from their sin and having done so much for them in the gospel. So come and bless us. Help every heart, we pray. Help, O God, there to be honesty of life and honesty of soul in this place tonight. Grant, Heavenly Father, O God, signs to follow the preaching of thy word, and we'll ascribe to thee all praise and honor for it. For we ask these our prayers in and through Jesus' precious and holy and wondrous name. Amen and amen. Have you been going astray? Have you been going astray? That's a question that I want us to answer. And I want you to answer honestly at the commencement of our time around the Word of God this evening. It is very easy to talk like a Christian. Very easy to act like a Christian. Very easy to dress like a Christian. Very easy to appear like a Christian. But all the time our hearts be at a distance from the Lord. Too often we allow a coldness to enter into our lives, a coldness to settle in upon our hearts as we let down our guard and we allow the world to creep back into our lives. Our fervor for God is not what it ought to be. Our enthusiasm for God's work, it begins to wane. The line of separation between us and the world becomes less distinctive and more blurred, and we find ourselves on the slippery slope spiritually, unable to arrest the gradual departure from the Lord. The psalmist found himself in such a state spiritually within his life, within this psalm. Although the author of the psalm is unnamed, at least we can identify ourselves with his spiritual state. For at times we all have been found where he was found. We find ourselves going astray. We must understand that the inspired writer of this psalm had many commendable qualities. I want to, in the introduction, highlight them to you as we go through this psalm together and understand that this individual who had gone astray had many, many commendable traits within his life. I direct you to the verse number 5. We see there that the psalmist had a desire to keep God's statutes, and thus he prays, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." That's not the natural inclination of the human heart. The natural inclination of the human heart is to break God's statutes, to go against God's law and against God's commandment. But here's a man who desires to keep God's statutes. And you'll find throughout the 176 verses of this chapter, this repeated desire to keep and to obey God's commandments, God's law, God's statutes, repeated over and over again by the psalmist. In verse number 7, we find the psalmist longing to praise God with an upright heart. "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart." While sinful man praise self, not the Christian. No, the Christian desires to praise his or her God. And this is what we find the psalmist desiring to do with an upright heart. In verse number 10, we see that there's no half-heartedness with the psalmist with regard to his pursuit after God, but rather we see him wholeheartedly seeking after his God. "With my whole heart have I sought thee." In the next verse, the verse number 11, we find the psalmist hiding God's word in his heart, knowing that the presence of the word of God within his heart would combat any inroads that sin would try to make into his life. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee." Here's a man who knew the danger of sin. Here's a man who knew the grief that sin would cause to the heart of God if allowed to take up residence within the heart. And thus he prays that God's word would be hid in his heart. In verse 13, it reveals to us that the psalmist was vocal in his presentation of the statutes and of the law of God. This man was no secret disciple, as some would wrongly claim to be. No, this man was public in his denouncement of sin. This man was public when he spoke out for God in the past. "With my lips," he said, "have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." Verse 46, if you cast your eye down there, we find that the psalmist is unashamed to speak out for God. "Even in the presence of kings, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed." Verse 15 points us to the fact that the psalmist had a love for the word of God, a love that was expressed in his desire to meditate upon it. "I will meditate in thy precepts." Verse 22, the psalmist testifies that he had adhered to God's testimony in his life. "I have kept thy testimonies." Verse 30, while others around him had chosen the way of falsehood, the psalmist states that he had chosen the way of truth. Verse 42, we find the inspired writer trusting in God's word. "I trust in thy word. I have faith in thy word." Verse 47, verse 48, the psalmist declares his love for God's commandments. Again, something that a sinner could not say about God's commands. He said, "I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved." Verse 63, we find the psalmist's company. And much can be said about a person by the company that they keep. This man wasn't keeping company with the ungodly, with the wicked, with the sinful individual, but rather this man formed friendships with those who feared God and kept God's precepts. "I am a companion," he said, "of all them that fear thee and of all them that keep thy precepts." In verse 94, the psalmist discloses his saving interest in Jesus Christ and in God. He says, "I am thine. O Lord, I am thine. Thou hast saved me. Thou hast redeemed me. Thou hast bought me. Thou hast adopted me. I am thine, Lord." In verse 101, we find the psalmist refraining his feet from the paths of sin. "I have refrained my feet from every evil way." In the verse 104, we see that he hates every false way. "I hate every false way." Verse 170, we see the psalmist as a man of prayer. Let my supplication, come before thee. A man of faith, a man who loved God's law, a man who loved God's people, a man who had a saving interest in God, a man who was once an individual who publicly spoke up for God in the past, one who delighted to meditate upon God's law, one who had refrained his feet from every evil and every false way, and yet despite possessing all of these commendable qualities, the psalmist makes this confession in the closing verse of Psalm 119. I have gone astray, like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. It is these words that God drew to my attention for this meeting this evening. I want to address you from them in a message that I've entitled The Plea Every Backslider Should Make to God. The plea that every backslider should make to God. It has been my prayer that if tonight finds you in a cold state spiritually, if tonight finds you walking at a distance from God, no matter how great or how small that distance would be, then it is my prayer that you will take this plea upon your lips tonight and that you will cry to God, seek me, seek thy servant, and all that you might be found tonight of the great shepherd. There are a number of things that I want us to consider from the words of our text. Firstly, consider with me the honesty expressed within our text, or within this plea. The honesty expressed in the plea. Note the words that the psalmist begins the plea with. I have gone astray. The psalmist does not try to conceal from God his waywardness. The psalmist does not try to excuse his backsliding in any way, but rather he comes before his God with this honest confession, I have gone astray. You see, honesty, or what we would term sincerity of heart, is the grand distinction between the Christian and every other man. You see, sinners are dishonest beings. Not only are they dishonest with themselves or with others, but they are dishonest with themselves, and more importantly, they are dishonest with their God. They fool themselves. The sinner fools himself or herself into believing that all is well spiritually with their soul. And yet they have never yielded to Christ. They have never exercised faith in Christ. They have never sought refuge from coming wrath by trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be true to say that sinners are self-deluded beings. Self-deluded beings. They have self-deluded hopes of heaven. And they have self-deluded estimation about their own goodness. And yet the Bible tells us that only the redeemed, the saved, the born again ones will take up residency in heaven, and that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. You see, what we find happening with people who are affected by such self-delusion in the spiritual realm is that they will put from themselves as far as possible all of the threatenings of God's word that are brought against them, despite them being directly pointed to them. Not only do they do that, that's not for me, preacher. This danger of hell, this threat of eternal punishment, that's not for me, preacher. That's what the self-deluded one will do. They'll put that away from them. But not only that, but they'll take to themselves privileges and consolations that are not theirs. They are but privileges and consolations that belong only to the righteous. But a self-deluded individual One who is suffering from self-delusion spiritually will take to themselves the hope of heaven and the hope of eternal life. Yet never have they turned from sin. Yet never have they repented from sin. Yet never have they trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I wonder this evening, are you a self-delusional person? I speak spiritually. Are you self-deluded? Sinner, have you convinced yourself? Or have you allowed yourself to be convinced by another? Maybe by a parent. Maybe by a friend. Maybe by a neighbor. Maybe even by a minister. Maybe you've allowed yourself to be convinced by such individuals that all is well with the soul, and yet deep within the soul, you're aware tonight that all is not well. All is not well. Let me say that if you are a self-delusional individual with respect to spiritual things, the consequences of such self-deception on your part are too terrifying and are too dreadful for us to even think tonight. Too terrifying and too dreadful for you to actually stay in your present sinful state. Oh, sinner tonight, deluded by your own righteousness, by your own morality, by your own good works. Oh, that tonight that would be stripped back by the Spirit of God, and that you would see that you're a lost, condemned, ill-deserving sinner. Oh, that you would see that tonight. Lost in your sin. Aware of the deceitfulness of your own heart. The proneness to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, you should ask God to do something in this service. You should ask God by His Spirit to reveal unto you the true spiritual state of your heart. That's what you should do, sinner. You should ask God to reveal Himself to you and reveal yourself to yourself, that you would see tonight what you are. You need to pray like David prayed in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way, and lead me in the way everlastingly. Sinner, it's time to start to deal honestly with God. It's time to be honest with yourself. It's time to be honest with respect to where you are in the matters of life and death, time and eternity, heaven and hell. You need to deal honestly with God and tell Him that you want to know tonight your true spiritual state, lest you be self-deceived and lest you be self-deluded about how you truly stand with Him. Condemned already. Fit fuel for hell. That's what the sinner is. But tonight we're dealing with the backslider. That's who we're dealing with tonight in the gospel. The one that we've been speaking about, this individual, this psalmist unnamed to us. Some believe David, some suggest other individuals. But this man has got beyond the self-delusion. He's got beyond it. He's maybe comforted himself with that for a little time in his life. He's maybe, as it were, put off the return to the Father. He's maybe, as it were, comforted himself with respect that he's not as bad as a neighbor down the road, or some individual that he's heard about on the news. And so the backslider, they've stayed in this state of self-delusion, but not this man. No, this man isn't trying to cover up his backsliding. This man isn't trying to cover up his coldness. This individual is not trying to excuse his sin of backsliding, but rather this man has got honest with himself and got honest with God. He's got beyond the stage of being self-deluded about his spiritual state. Now, probably before this, he had convinced many that all was well spiritually. He maybe continued to go to church, to the prayer meeting. He maybe continued to help out in the ministries. I'm sure he would have said the right things. I'm sure he would have done the right things. But now we find him having tired of living a life at a distance from God. We find him now being honest with himself. And as I said, more importantly, being honest with God. Which then leads him to make this honest confession, I have gone astray. I have gone astray. Have you gone astray? Are you going astray? Has a distance opened up between you and your Lord? Has the world been subtly creeping back into your heart and life in recent days, weeks, months, years? Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Have you got to the stage in your life that you're tired of living a lie? Tired of the coldness that reigns within? Tired of living at a distance from the one who saved you from sin and from hell? Then come before him with this honest confession, I've gone astray. Because it will mark the beginning of your return to God. Now I want you to notice in this honest plea where the psalmist places the blame for his straying from God. I want you to notice where he places the blame. Can I say that he does not place the blame for his straying at the doors of his employer? He doesn't place the blame at the door of his employer who made him work early or extra shifts and thereby curtail his attendance at the public gatherings of God's people or impinge upon his own private time with the Lord. He didn't blame his employer. He did not blame the ungodly who were living around him, whose sinful lives were, of course, no encouragement to him to live the Christian life. He doesn't place the blame upon his companions and his friends, who themselves were maybe taking a similar course of action by living at a distance from God. He doesn't place the blame at the devil. He doesn't say that the devil has caused me to go astray. We know that the devil's constant aim is to divert the child of God into bypath meadows, to bring them out of God's work, to cause them to fall out of the way. But he doesn't blame the devil. And he doesn't blame the church, whose members had wronged him, whose members had hurt him, whose members had spoken untruths about him, whose members had overlooked him. He doesn't blame the church. No, this man places the entire blame for his straying where it ought to be placed. He places it entirely upon himself. I have gone astray. I have gone astray. I have. What he was in fact saying, he says, I'm the one who wandered from God. It's my fault. It's my fault that I'm found in such a deplorable spiritual state. I alone am to blame for my straying from God. He places it where it ought to be, on himself. You see, that's what the prodigal did. I have sinned against heaven and before thy sight. I did it. I have gone astray. I wonder tonight, is there a wanderer here tonight who would be honest with themselves and say, I have gone astray. Now that strain may not be detectable. It may not be detectable even to those who are the nearest, who are the dearest to you. But you know, you've known it in the soul. There's been a going astray. Well, get honest with God. Place the blame where it ought to be, entirely at your doorstep, entirely at your doorstep and say, I have gone astray. It's the first step back home. The first step back home. I wonder, is there one who's going to stop blaming secondary causes for their departure from God and admit that you are ultimately to blame? You are ultimately to blame for being in a backslidden state. Thank God the great shepherd can restore your soul even now where you sit. Even at this moment of this message, lift your heart to God. Seek thy servant. Seek thy servant, great shepherd. And restore my soul as thou hast promised to do in that great Psalm, Psalm 23. He restoreth my soul. You see, you can blame everyone and everything else, but ultimately, all blame is at your doorstep. For Christ redeemed you. Christ saved you. And Christ and the Father and the Spirit have provided all the means of grace that is required to keep you in the way. But you have went out of the way because you have neglected the means of grace. And because of that, you have gone astray. Not only have we the honesty expressed in the plea, but secondly, we have the helplessness acknowledged in the plea. The helplessness is seen in how the psalmist describes himself within our text. He describes himself to be like a lost sheep. And what is more helpless than a sheep stranded on its own, unable to find its way back to the fold and back to the flock again? You see, straying sheep, most of them, if not all of them, they never come back home on their own accord. They never come back by themselves. They're too helpless to do so. They're silly. They're stupid. They're ignorant. As a result, they cannot find a way back to the fold of safety. Instead, the shepherd, what does a shepherd have to do? I say the shepherd has to go back. And the shepherd has to go out. And he has to go and find them. And rescue them because of their helpless state. We see that aptly illustrated for us in Luke chapter 15. The lost sheep, the 99 are counted in, one is lost. The shepherd must go and find the sheep. He goes out and finds the sheep. Leaving home, searches for it until he finds it. That sheep, unable of itself, of its own accord, to find its way back to the shepherd. It was helplessly lost. But thank God the shepherd comes and the shepherd finds that which was lost. And so it is in the gospel. So it is for every backslider. They feel themselves to be like a lost sheep. They feel so helpless, so powerless, so incapable of returning to God. Every backslider has found that to be true. They have found that it has been easier for them to go out of the way than it has been for them to get back into the way. They find that it's easier for them to stray and to wander from the fold than it has been for them to return to the fold. Our helplessness means that none of us can restore our souls, but thank God the shepherd can. He finds us where we are, helpless, in our helpless, pitiful state. As we have gone astray from him, he finds us. He searches us out by his love, his grace, by his mercy. The good shepherd comes on a mission to find his own sheep who have gone out of the way. I wonder tonight, do you feel helpless? Maybe you even despair. There is a foreboding within the soul that it's never going to be as it once was. Tell your case to Christ tonight. Tell your case to Him. Confide in Him. You need to confide in this preacher. God knows every heart, every state this evening. Confide in Him. Look away to your omnipotent God who has all restorative power. He's able to restore all power that's able to restore you unto Himself, as well as restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. Look away to your God. There is a third truth that I find in this plea of the psalmist, namely the hopefulness within the plea. There is a hopefulness contained within the plea. I suggest to you that there are two promising rays of hope that shine out the darkness and the dark circumstances that the psalmist finds himself in. The first ray of hope has to do with his claim. His claim. The psalmist's claim. Note how the psalmist refers to himself within our text, Psalm 119, verse 176. He speaks here to God in prayer, and he claims to be God's servant. Seek thy servant. Thy servant. In all of his wanderings, and in all of his goings astray, the psalmist never loses sight of God's claim on him. Even though he had gone astray like a lost sheep, he nevertheless had still enough faith to know that he was still God's servant. I'm still your servant. Now I've gone astray, but I'm still your servant. Because those who have been genuinely converted to Christ are always Christ's. Always. Backslider, it is true that your wandering is sinful. Your departure from God is inexcusable. But the devil will attempt to make you to believe that you have forfeited your standing in Christ. He would say to you, why would Christ continue to show any interest in you when you've gone astray from Him? How can you expect anything from God when you've turned to your own way? But oh, let this truth encourage you. Let this truth encourage you that you're still God's servant. A disobedient servant, I freely admit, but still a servant of God nonetheless. You know, this truth that you're still God's servant is not to keep you in your backslidden state as some license to sin. Oh, well, I'm still God's servant. I'll continue to live in my cold, backslidden state. That is not the reason why this is here. But rather, it is recorded here to encourage you out of your coldness. It is here to induce you to return on to your God. Because I say this, backslider, since you are still a servant of God, you need to ask yourself the question, how is my life reflecting on the Master? As you live in that backslidden, cold state, you need to ask the question, how is my life reflecting on the Master? You're still His servant. As the world looks on at your life, as they consider your testimony as a servant of God, what impression are they getting of your Master? I put it to you that it is not the impression that God would want to be given of Him to this world. It is not the impression He wants you to be giving of Him. But the second ray of hope that shines out of this text is not only His claim, thy servant, but His conduct. His conduct. These words are set within the context of prayer. If you notice the verse 169, the verse 170, Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. And so it is within the context of a prayer that we find this psalmist making the plea at the end of it, the concluding remark, as we would say in the verse 176, though he had gone astray, this man had taken himself now to prayer. And where there is prayer, there is hope. Where there's prayer, there's hope. Not only is that, but there's something else about this man's conduct that sheds a ray of hope, and that is that the psalmist had not forgotten God's commandments even whenever he had gone astray. Note the last sentence in the verse 76, "For I do not forget thy commandments." He still loved his commandments. He still wanted to keep them. I recall my time at Edinburgh University. I had gone astray like a sheep, but I still found a place of worship to go to worship on the Lord's Day morning, because I forgot not God's commandment to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Here's a man who did not forsake the commandments. He didn't live a lawless life. No, this man's life is still being guided, still being directed by the commandments of God, even in his backslidden state. And that's when you know when a person is genuinely backslidden, that they do not forget God's commandments. They dare not forget them. They know the danger of forgetting God's commandments. They know the judgment that will come upon them. They know the chastisement that the Father will bring as they break the commandments of God. And here we find a man in his conduct and by his conduct showing us that there is hope for this man. There's hope for him. I wonder, is there a man or woman, a teenager, a boy or girl, who despite your wandering from God, still finds you praying every night? Still finds you reading the Word of God every day? Still finds you trying to live by God's law and by His commandments? If you're such an individual, there's hope for you. There's hope. Mr. Spurgeon, making comment on this verse, he said, "That man cannot be utterly lost whose heart is still with God. If he be gone astray in many respects, yet still, if he be true in his soul's inmost desires, he will be found again and fully restored." But can I say, to be prayerless and never desire to keep God's commandments is a worrying state to be in spiritually if you profess to be a backslider. We thought together from this plea of the psalmist here, the honesty expressed in the plea, the helplessness acknowledged in the plea, the hopefulness contained in the plea, but note finally and quickly the help requested in the plea. The plea for help is simple. The plea for help is short. The plea for help is specific. The plea for help is succinct. But what a plea it is. Seek thy servant. Seek thy servant. Unable to find his own way back home, the psalmist requests help from God. Lord, seek me in my helpless estate. Come to my aid. Come to my rescue. O God, come for my deliverance. Rescue me from my wanderings and my goings astray. Lord, seek me. Seek thy servant. As one preacher said, the only help for him lay in the search which the great shepherd would make and the consequent restoration which would come by his gracious and powerful hand. That was the only ray of hope. The only hope was that the great shepherd would come. Is this not then a fitting prayer for you who has gone astray? I say, sinner, this is a good prayer for you to pray. Seek. Lord, in my sin, come and seek me. Thou hast said that you've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Lord, I'm lost in my sin. Lord, seek me tonight. Seek me tonight in this meeting. Seek me and find me and save me and rescue me and make me a child of the King. Oh God, seek me tonight in the gospel. Sinner, pray it. Pray it. Before hell opens up and receives you into itself, pray it now. Seek me. Oh God, seek me tonight in the gospel. And if you seek him, you will find him. When you seek with him and for him with all of your heart, backslider, you're lost because of your wanderings. Ah, you need God to seek you and draw you on to himself tonight. Ah, and thank God he does seek. How does he seek? Oh, he seeks the wanderer by many different ways. He seeks by his word, by his spirit, by his providence, by his works, by sickness, by death. Oh, he seeks you. Let me ask you, backslider, is he seeking you? Do you think you can just continue to go on in your waywardness and in your sin? For that's what backsliding is, it's sin. Is he seeking you tonight? Has God been applying the message to your heart? Have you felt the tug of the Spirit of God upon your soul? Is your conscience troubled? Has the sword of the Spirit thoroughly stabbed you through tonight? Oh, that's the work of the Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost bringing you on to himself again. Oh, resist him not. Oh, backslider, resist him not. Lest you go out and find yourself chastened by God. Let this night be the night of your return. Cry to him for help. Return to your first love, and then it will be said of you, for ye were, past tense, ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. 1 Peter 2:25. I have gone astray. Seek thy, like a lost sheep, seek thy servant. For I do not forget thy commandments. This is the plea that every backslider should make to God tonight. And you'll find that your God is full of mercy, grace, and pardon. May the great shepherd come into this meeting and seek you out and draw you on to himself again. Let's unite in prayer. The departure from God may only be small, but it's still a departure from God. And so, no matter how far you've went, no matter how great the distance is, thank God grace can bridge the distance. The shepherd can reach you. May you come back to him. Be wise about this. Be wise. Be honest in your heart. And if I can help you in any way, then speak to us after the meeting. We're here as God's servant. But all you need to do is to speak to God, backslider. And we'll see you at the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We'll see you at the prayer meeting. May that be so in all of our hearts and lives. Our loving Father, we bow before thee in the Savior's name. Here's a man with all the list of commendable qualities, and here's the fly in the ointment at the very last verse. He could have covered it up. He could have pretended, as it were, but the Spirit caused him to write it, because the Spirit knows the state of the heart. And the Holy Spirit knew that he had gone astray. O God, thou dost know where we are. Thou dost know where I am. Have I gone astray? Bring me back, Lord. Restore this soul of mine. And may we find in thee the pardon and forgiveness that is for the backslider. Oh, answer prayer, speak to hearts, speak to even the ungodly among us, though the word be directed towards the backslider. Oh, we believe that thou art greater than a man preaching. Oh, we believe the Spirit can apply truth and bring conviction of soul upon the sinner's heart. Oh God, do it for Christ's sake. Glorify thy Son and apply thy word to every heart. We pray these our prayers in and through Jesus' most precious name. Amen and amen.